Hey there, this is Pastor Kyle Horton, and you're listening to the Three Rivers Wesleyan Church podcast. You matter to God, and you matter to us. Our prayer for you today as you listen to God's word is that He would use it to encourage you as you love and follow Jesus.
Hey, today is Palm Sunday, and a lot of times I preach on Palm Sunday, but we're in Galatians, and this is our sixth week in Galatians, and I really we're gonna be in something else after Easter, and I think we could have done about 10 weeks in Galatians, honestly, or much longer. So I wanted to bring you one more message from Galatians before we move on. That's not true. Two more come on Friday, okay? If you have not been with us, there's no way I can recap it all, but you can go back and catch up on these if you want to. But Galatians is a letter from Paul to a group of churches in the region of Galatia. And someone does really tired of Galatians. But this whole series, this whole story, this whole letter, this whole argument of Paul has been about this key idea. We feel unrighteous before our God. We want to feel the justification we know we have received through the blood of Christ. We know we've been forgiven by what Jesus has done. And yet often we still, because we see the reality of the brokenness of our lives, we still long for right relationship with God. How do we get it? Now, Paul was writing to a group of churches where people were coming in that carried the Jewish tradition and were saying, yes, okay, you can have Jesus, but also practice the law, right? And they said, do all the things, keep all the Old Testament law, practice the feasts and festivals, even to the point of getting circumcised. And so you see in Galatians this people who very sincere in their faith, right? If you're willing to do all of that, you desire God. Like the Galatians maybe come under criticism, right? But not by Paul, right? He kind of is harsh a little bit with his language, but he weighs more criticism at the people who are telling him this stuff than the people who are eagerly seeking after God, right? And so we've been talking about this. Paul goes to the mat to say, no, if you believe that you become righteous before God, your relationship with God changes by keeping the law, you are not practicing the way. He goes to the mat on that. In fact, he says the way that we experience righteousness from God is only because of what Jesus did on the cross. And it's by his blood that we are justified, that God sees us as righteous, and we experience that righteousness. We started kind of turning that last week. We experience his righteousness because we have been given the Holy Spirit. The Son was given to the world to justify the world. The Holy Spirit was given to us, to believers. Where, do you guys remember, where does it say in Galatians the Holy Spirit was given? Into our hearts. And by the Holy Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. So that righteousness that the people were longing for and trying, you know, in the same way that maybe we do, like if I do the right things, if I practice the law, if I read my Bible every day, if I go to every church service, if I can beat that habit, whatever, we think that's what makes God love us. And Paul says, no, that can't be what God loves us, because we can't do that. And the law was never intended to do that. We need Jesus. And we experience him by experiencing the Holy Spirit. You're with me? And so last week we talked about, that's a big shift. And it's a shift that I think Galatians is in Scripture, because every so often in our walks, we need that reminder. It's so easy to fall back in over here, isn't it? If I do the right things, God loves me. And that is a losing game. It's a losing game. Are we still called to live holy lives? Absolutely. But the motivation and the way we do it matters greatly. Last week we started talking about this, and we said we have a new motivation. We have hope, right? Hope in the way that Paul intended it. A better word would be certainty. This is Galatians 5:5. Through the Spirit we eagerly wait by faith for the righteousness for which we hope, the certain righteousness given to us in Christ. And then we experience another motivation in a new love, right? In this idea that our law-keeping does not allow us to live by faith and love other people. Instead, we daily fill ourselves with the certainty of God's love for me in Christ. I have a good day, Christ died for me. I have a bad day, Christ died for me. I am certain of how God feels about me. Not because of any of this, but because of what Jesus did, right? And so we're going to end kind of our progression through this thought, this big thought in Galatians today, with our text in Galatians 5, 16 to 25. It's on page 975 if you want to grab a pew Bible around you somewhere. Or you can turn on your own Bibles. It's a good day to kind of keep your Bible open. There's a lot in this passage. We could do a whole series on this passage, and probably will someday, and break down more of these things. But today, we're going to take the whole thing in one big, giant bite. It's going to be fun. All right, Galatians 5, 16 through 26 is what we're going to read. It says the wrong thing. Oh, no, it does. Says the wrong thing on my paper. Okay. But I say, walk by the Spirit. This is the invitation of Paul, right? Walk by the Spirit, and what? You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. This is all about how do we experience the holiness and the righteousness that we long for. Verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. They don't get along. You can't be fleshy and spirit-filled, right? But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh they're evident to us. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, which is very poorly translated, that means overindulgence, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things, they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. This is the word of the Lord. Father, be with us today as we parse this out, as we think about the invitations you've given us to holy living, not at all by our bootstrapping or our willpower or our morality, but Father, as we keep in step with the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of the resurrected God living in us. God, these are hard things to think about, and yet, Lord, I'm so confident for everyone here under the teaching of this word today, every one of us, Lord, we are called and invited to live in this vibrant, alive kingdom that you have established. You care about our individual lives and our struggles and our needs. And so God, I pray today as we're here, give us eyes and ears to see how you care about our lives and how you would lead us. God, pray this with me, friends. God, how would you lead me today, Father? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot here that we're not gonna be able to get into today. This is a pretty famous passage, and initially, the thing that stands out here are the two lists, right? There are two lives that are kind of said and stated, and there's a good list of things to do, and then there's a good list of things not to do. And if you're a Bible reader, you love a good list, right? You're like, ooh, all right, we got a list here, a list of things. Now here's what's crazy. Right away, when we see a list of things, it invites us back onto this side of the podium, right? It invites us back into, say, I've got these fruit of the Spirit. Check, 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 and no orgies. I'm doing great. God loves me, right? You know, and like the list invites us to kind of look at that and go, well, I'm not that person. I'm definitely this person, right? And if you do that, you've not been listening to Galatians correctly or reading Galatians correctly or thinking about this at all, right? Because does it matter what we do in the eyes of God because of Jesus? Is that what makes us righteous? No, it matters what we do. But that's not what makes us righteous, right? That's not what makes us righteous. So if you read this and you give yourself a little self-righteous pat on the back because you're doing the fruit of the Spirit things and not doing the other things, you have read Galatians wrong. You've missed the point, right? After a whole letter that talks about how do we experience righteousness, Paul does not then give us a list of just moralism. This is not where this passage ends. Doesn't that make sense, right? Paul's not going to say, okay, if you want to experience righteousness, don't do these things and instead do these things. So we can't read it that way. You cannot read this passage that way because it sells it way, way short, right? Also, this will help you too, the works of the flesh, right? The things that we're not supposed to do, right? These are not just leveled at the pagan irreligious people, right? These are also, in fact, more of these things are things you find in church than things you find out in like sinful world, right? You get sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, sorceries, drunkenness, orgies, which I said again was overindulgence, right? But then you get idolatry, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, and envy. 6 kind of worldly things, 8 very churchy things, right? I won't have you raise your hands, but there's been a lot of people who have left churches, been pushed out of churches, been hurt in churches because of idolatry, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, envy. These are all things you find in churches. Paul is not leveling things against irreligious people. He's speaking to people, again, remember the context, people who desire righteousness, desire holiness, so much so that they're willing to get circumcised. Paul is saying, we know, and I think the key word here is the things of the flesh, the works of the flesh, he says they're what? Thank you. 19. The works of the flesh are what? What's the key word? Evident. We know. We know these things, right? We know. And here's the greater point. You know. You know the things that lead you away from God. They are evident. No one needs to write a list, but Paul does anyway because he likes lists. Okay. Then Paul gives us, in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. This is supposed to be in contrast, right? But not in the bootstrapping way, just in showing that there are two paths here, right? And we get, you know, I'd love to go through all these, but we get love, right? And in the Bible, often love is not the opposite of hate, right? Perfect love casts out what? Fear. Love is the opposite of fear because, in fact, you cannot love someone and also protect yourself, right? Interject that into whatever political discussion currently we're having in America, right? You cannot have both love and fear, joy, abiding in God in a way that circumstances do not rock your life. That would be happiness, right? We go up and down based on how things are going. Peace, a trust and confidence so great in God's control that it just gives us some kind of supernatural peace. We could go on and on and on, and we will someday maybe do a series just on these. There's so much that we could unpack, and the Bible speaks into each one of these in cool ways. Read your Bibles. But here's the question. Here's the question that this invites us. When you read that list, when you read the fruit of the Spirit, right, which is in verse 22, now just think about this. And I want you to ask this question. Are these things in my life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are those things evident in abundance and in like God supernatural, like filling you kind of ways? And here's the question that Paul would ask maybe is, if they're not, why are those things not evident in your life? What is keeping you from experiencing that kind of fruit? So we get these two lives held in contrast, and I'm not going to spend any more time there. Today, we're going to look at more at Paul's double invitations, two invitations that Paul gives that kind of land this thought of how do we experience the righteousness we long for? If it's not through the law, how do we experience it? Now, you should know the answer to this because we started last week, right? We experience it through abiding in the Holy Spirit, walking in the Holy Spirit, living a life where God's Spirit is in us and directs us. That's how we experience the righteousness that we are hungry for. But remember, we have to read this passage in context. It's not about this life or that life. It is about this longing for righteousness. We do not end this in moralism. So here's the first invite. The first invite that I want to talk about here is this invite from Paul. He uses the word to crucify the flesh. Crucify the flesh. And I would argue, in reading all of Galatians, maybe if you write crucify the flesh, next to it write to kill the law-keeping spirit within us. To kill the sense that when I keep the law, I am made righteous by my keeping of the law, right? We all have this desire to keep the law, to be righteous and holy people. That's a good thing. God put that in us, right? But does our law keeping make us feel righteous before God? That's the invitation here when Paul says, I think, to crucify the flesh. Now, I think I've been guilty of this. I think I've pulled this verse out of Galatians before, and I have taught it probably here, and I know other places, that crucify the flesh is this, you know, if you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing, starve it, kill it, get it out of your life, like work very hard to remove that from your life. Kill it dead. And that there's some logic to this, right? Like if you have sin in your life and you see it wrecking your life, get it out of your life, right? You could read it that way. And I think that's okay. I think you could read it that way. But then I think about this. Why does Paul use the word crucify? I think the word is very intentional. When I read it in the greater context of Galatians, you know, he could have said kill it. He could have said labor against it. He could have said get it out of your life. He could have said gouge it out. He could have said kill it slowly over time. Why not write suffocate or stab or starve? Instead, Paul writes crucify. And I think a lot of it comes down to Paul trying to get, again, to the heart of the motivation for how we become holy people. Those who belong with Christ, this is verse 24, have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires, or you could also translate it like its over desires, like it's things that rule and reign in our life. And I think Paul says crucify it because he is inviting us to consider again why we are made righteous. And I think you could teach this, and I'm finding it compelling and motivating in my holiness journey to think about it this way, that it's not Kyle, do the thing, as much as it is, Kyle, consider the cross. Consider the cross. Look at Jesus crucified for your sin. Look at Jesus crucified for your sin, and then consider the battle of the flesh that you're carrying, and say, Jesus died for my sin. And if Jesus would give himself for my sin, then why do I want these passions and desires? Why do I even want this in my life? Verse 18 says, if you're led by the Spirit, then you're not under the law anymore. And I can't help but think that in this whole letter that is about keeping the law, that this has a lot to do with Paul's approach to how we experience the fruit of the Spirit. When you dig into the exegesis on this and you dig into the meaning of this, Paul is not saying do not obey the law, right? Of course he wants people to obey the law. Of course he wants people to live holy lives and not do things that are sins of the flesh that harm themselves and other, right? You can read that list and see all the harm in addiction and slavery and all the things that are harmful in there, right? But when Paul writes, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, I think it's this. I think it's saying we no longer primarily fight sin by law keeping. We no longer experience victory by law keeping. And I think maybe I could talk about it this way. Maybe have you ever experienced this where there's something in your life, you know it's not godly, you know it's not from God, and you want it out of your life, and so you try very, very, very hard on your own power. And then what happens? You fail. When you fail, what happens to your relationship with God? When you fail in your bootstrapping morality, you feel what? You feel very, very distant from God. You feel very distant in your failure from God. Now, answer me this question. When Paul says all the righteousness that we need to be in righteous relationship with God, to be fully justified with God, comes through not any of this, comes through what? Jesus died on the cross so that we could be fully justified before God. We've been given everything we need to be righteous. So when we try to experience the fruit of the Spirit through law keeping, Paul would say, no. You're not under the law anymore. If we're led by the Spirit, we are not under the law. This is important because it sets up the other invitation. So when Paul invites us to crucify the flesh, when Paul invites us to be led by the Spirit, and I think this is so important, this invitation of Paul to leave those things behind. And like, what is it to be a Christian, right? It's to be made new. It's to experience resurrection. It's to experience new life. The old is gone and the new has come. We are new creations, right? We have been born again. All of this language about newness, we're not going to stay in this old fleshy life, right? But it's essential, I think, for Paul here to say, you don't experience that by trying hard and through your morality and through your bootstrapping and through keeping the law and through, he's trying to change that whole system. If you've ever lived under legalism or if you've ever carried legalism in your heart, you've ever lived in this kind of sense that if I could just be this, that, or that a little better, God would love me more. You are living in a broken system. And it doesn't freaking work, does it? Have you experienced this? I know I have. And so when I read, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, I don't see Paul saying, do whatever you want, right? Because we know, it was back in 13, right? Don't use your freedom for opportunities for the flesh, right? So like this is a no-brainer. We don't take our freedom from God and just live like wild children and think that God will forgive us. That's not an invitation of God. An invitation of God is to be righteous people, right? To leave sin behind and be new creations. But we don't do it through just pulling ourselves up and trying to live this law-keeping moral life. We do it in a different way. Eugene Peterson in The Message translates, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. He translates it like this. We'll put them up there together. So ESV, if you're not led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The Message, why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? When I keep the law, and I am a law-dominated person, when I keep the law, I feel what? Fantastic. But when I don't keep the law anymore, I feel enslaved, I feel entrapped, I feel far from God, I feel like a failure. My relationship with God is rocked, right? Do you see how this operates? Paul says, no, we don't have to live under the law anymore. That is not our motivation. That is not the mechanism. That is not the driver for holy life anymore. Instead, we are what? Verse 18, we're led by the Spirit. So the first invitation is to kill the fleshy law keeping within us. To kill the it goes all the way back to like when we're in and I hate these things in elementary school. They're so dumb. But like clip up, clip down. You're the good kid. You're the bad kid, right? Like I don't think that actually helps children at all. We could talk about that, but it goes back to all those things when we were kids. Like go sit in the corner and oh you're a good kid so you get a star. Like we're growing up with this thinking that like. We are the ones who create the righteousness within us. And Paul says, no, I've come to tell you a gospel, a new story, that Jesus died for your sins, that you are righteous before God. And in fact, he's given you the Spirit of his Son within you. And so the invitation now is not, it's not a changed game, it's a new game. It's not a better life philosophy, it's a new life. It's not Spirit-filled law-keeping, it's Spirit-filled living. Do you see the difference that Paul is trying to get us to? It's so different. It's so different. Instead of keeping the same flawed motivational structure in our life, Paul gives us a new one. Faith, hope, the certainty in what Jesus has done that fills us with the opportunity to use our freedom, like verse 13 said, not for our self-indulgence, but for love of other people. Can we get the fruits by ourselves? Can we bootstrap ourselves to this love and joy and peace and gentleness and self-control? I don't think so. Which gives us our second invitation. This invitation to walk by the Spirit. This is where Paul lands the eager desire he sees in the church of Galatia. Your desire that you have to experience more righteousness, that's a good desire, Galatia, right? Three Rivers Wesleyan. That's a good desire. God put that desire in your life, but you're not going to achieve the righteousness and the holiness that you hunger and long for by your own moralism mechanisms that have failed you your entire life. Instead, Paul, Jesus, John Wesley, me, we invite you to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Two verses that we're going to look at. Verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. You could also underline verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law anymore, right? This is three times in a paragraph that Paul says, hey, if you want to experience the righteousness you're hungry for, what do? You walk with the Spirit. I'm going to give you a few observations on this. The first one is the order of verse 16, right? I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That is very different than the reverse. Now, if you say, don't gratify the desires of the flesh, then you can walk by the Spirit. That is, remember back to the weeks where we said, what do? We become and then we belong or we believe, right? Paul's saying, now believe, you belong, and then let you become, right? Paul's saying, the order matters here. He's saying, walk in the Spirit. Attune yourself to the Spirit. Tell yourself and preach to yourself the gospel every day. Let yourself be filled with the radiance of the glory of what Jesus has done for you. That you're enough because Jesus is enough. That when God sees you, he sees beloved, adopted. Remember, that's the other word Paul uses in Galatians. He sees adopted sons and daughters. That has nothing to do with your ability to keep the law and everything to do with what Jesus said. So walk in that. And he gave you the Son and he gave you the Spirit into your heart, and by it you cry, Abba, Father. And so you live there. Live there. Live with the reality that God loves you, and there is nothing that you did yesterday or this week that has affected that. And there's nothing that you can do tomorrow or next week that can change that or shake it. Nothing. Live here. This is the invitation of Paul. This is the invitation to walk in the Spirit. It's a spiritual discipline to tell yourself these things. It's a spiritual discipline to remember that you're God's son or God's daughter. It's a spiritual discipline to not sell yourself short because of your inability to keep the law. That stinks. Why would we live there anymore? It's an invitation to step away from feeling good because maybe you do more things on the Holy Spirit list than less things on the sins of the flesh thing. It's an invitation to not walk around and use the list that Paul intended for your good to judge other people. If you take that list and you think about anyone else other than your own spirit, you have missed the point of Galatians, right? The order here matters. This hope is not in law keeping. It's Spirit living. It's not try harder. It's Spirit walking. It's not helping you keep the law better. It's an entirely new game. The second thing I want to kind of observe from this is the choice that Paul uses here. This is the invitation to walk in the Spirit. And the result is what? What does he say the result of walking in the Spirit is? It's not a sure question. What is the result in this passage? Anybody? Then you'll experience the fruit. Thank you, Pastor Richley. All right. For the fruit. Okay, why fruit? Why does Paul say, if you walk in the Spirit, then you will experience the fruit? This is also a super intentional word choice. Why not? Then you'll experience the traits or the attributes or the sonship or the kingdom experience. Like why did Paul say fruit? I think there's some things here for us. Again, fruit of the Spirit could be a whole series, and I promise you will be someday. But fruit initially invites us into this like organic thinking. This is Psalm 1, be like a tree planted by a river that is nourished and is righteous. It is this idea of, it immediately invites us, we see plants every day, right? Some of you, if you're real extreme, eat plants every day. I eat plants at least every other day. We know plants. It's botanical on purpose because when plants grow, it's gradual, right? We have houseplants all over our house. There are, I'm literally tripping over houseplants in our house because my wife likes plants. I like them too. And these things, you know, she plants a seed, and then, you know, before you know it, there's a sprout, and then before you know it, there's a couple leaves, and then before you know it, it has displaced my lounge chair, right? You know, like these things are so big, so fast, and yet, when you look at a plant, can you observe it growing? No, not without like some kind of cool time lapse or something. Fruit is gradual, but we can't see it happen, right? Fruit is often missed, but it is occurring. And I think Paul has picked this word because there is an invitation here as we walk by the Spirit. We will experience change. But it might be gradual, and it might be slow, and it might be hard to observe, but we will experience it. The other thing that I love about this is fruit singular, right? He says the works of the flesh, works many, right? The deeds of the flesh, the marks of the flesh, right? But fruit is in purpose one word, right? And it's not a mistake. It's not a mistake. If Paul is so careful with his word choice here, it's not a mistake. It's that this is one thing. And this is an idea I would love to unpack more in future teachings, but the fruit of the Spirit are synchronous, is the word that most of the commentaries use. That means that as we experience these things, we experience them together. If it is God working in our life, we experience them together. So let me read you the list again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now Paul would say, as you follow along, as the Spirit leads your life, as you look and say, God, you know, and this is the Spirit-led life is the life that as a discipline daily remembers that God loves you and says, God, through your Holy Spirit in me, will you lead and direct my words, my thoughts, my deeds, my day, my love, everything. As we live a Spirit-led life, Paul would say that you will see all of those things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, rise together in your life. Now you could do the inverse. Now, if you have great joy, but you have no self-control, you're not experiencing through the Spirit. You're a hedonist, right? Like, if you have tremendous self-control, but no joy, you're a legalist. You're not experiencing the life of the Spirit, right? Paul say these are the fruit, and they rise together. It's something you can chew on, think about a little bit. Third thing here. That I want to observe of this is that this is an invitation that only comes by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power by which Paul would say that we change, right? That's it. If I walk by the Spirit, I'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. If we live by the Spirit, we'll keep in step with the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, right? What is the power to experience the righteousness that we long and hunger for in our lives? The Spirit, right? And it's because of the Spirit of God in us. And here's what I want to stress about this. We're celebrating the resurrection this week, right? This is our Holy Week. We're going from here to Good Friday to Easter Sunday. And you could say, oh, it's a day off or a holiday or eggs or whatever. But like, it is worth, as Christian people, as those of us that are gathered here today, spending time this week thinking about what we are celebrating and what we believe, and that we believe this really happened, right? Now, track with me. If we believe that Jesus walked out of the tomb, was crucified, tortured and killed, dead, and rose again, and all over Scripture, we have verses that talk about how the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that is within us is the Spirit of the resurrected Christ. Now, if you have the Spirit of the resurrected Christ in you, how dare you tell yourself that you can't change or grow? How dare you say, I can only experience righteousness if I just try harder? And Paul said, no, your invitation is to walk in step with the Spirit. And if you walk in step with the Spirit, you are inviting the Spirit of the resurrected God to make you a new creation, like Paul says. This is the invitation of Galatians. And what a different message it is than the Galatians were getting from the Jews, right? Keep the law, do all the stuff, earn it, experience it that way. By then you can feel really good and believe that God thinks you're righteous. And Paul says, God already thinks you're righteous because what Jesus did, that's how much he loves you. That's how worthy you are of the sacrifice of Christ. That's how much God just lavishes his grace and mercy and love upon you. And you want to experience what that feels like? He's given the Holy Spirit into your heart. And the Spirit that he's given to your heart is the Spirit of the resurrected God. So much of how we think about our spiritual progress is the way we think about the history of our law keeping, right? Isn't it? When I ask you, are you a good Christian? Do you think about Jesus, or do you think about how you've done with your habits and your secret sins and your history and your past? Just be honest. My automatic is to think here. And Galatians is telling me that that is not how I should think about my life. And that changes something, doesn't it? We sell ourselves so short by living holiness lives through law keeping and thinking it's spirit living. Those are not the same thing. It takes something intentional to separate ourselves, right? If we live our lives pretending we're walking by the Spirit, but really law-keeping, it's not the same thing. It would be like saying, I don't want to go to the beach because I didn't like the sandbox, right? Like, law-keeping doesn't work. We all know that, right? It harms us. It makes us feel distant from God. But Paul's not inviting us to a new and better law-keeping. He's inviting us to walk with the Spirit, right? It's see how different that is? Maybe that's not good. That's like saying, I can't walk with the Spirit and live a holy life now because when I'm three, I soiled my pants frequently. I mean, I'm being a little silly, but like, if we look at our past and we look at our law keeping and our failures and we say, I can't walk by the Spirit because of what I used to do, it's as dumb as saying, I can't wear adult clothes now because I used to poop my pants when I was in diapers, right? They're not the same thing. It's so new. If we say I can't walk with the Spirit because of my bad experience with law keeping, it would be like saying I can't fly on an airplane because when I was four, I jumped out of my bed, I flapped my arms, and I hit the ground and it hurt. Don't let your failures of this stuff, of your law keeping and your morality and your trying and your failing and your legalism, if you let any of that keep you from experiencing life with the Spirit and the joy, the peace, and the patience and the kindness that comes from living in a way where you tell yourself every day that God loves you because of what Jesus did, it's not a new and better theology, it's not a new and better game, it's not a new and better system, it is completely different. And this is what Jesus came to do. This is what we're celebrating this week. Jesus came to free us from that and to invite us into this. They're different religions. That's Galatians, right? They're different religions. I think we believe too small. And I think we settle for less than what Jesus intended for his people. Paul's invitation in Galatians to holy living, crucify the law-keeping and walk in the Spirit, all of the invitations to follow God always come in a pair, right? There's always something you leave and something you turn to, right? If you've never put your trust in Jesus for this kind of saving, redemptive faith, Paul would say it like this. He'd say, we repent from our sin. We say, God, I'm leaving all of the sin and all of the law keeping to earn your righteousness behind, and I'm turning and I'm giving my life to you, right? We talk about like ABC sometimes. I admit that I'm a sinner, I put my belief in Jesus, and then I choose to like walk with God. And here in the holiness conversation with Galatians, Paul's saying, crucify and leave the law keeping and turn and walk in the Spirit. You see the parallels there? Both are invitations to turn from self in an old life to experience the gospel, to experience that Jesus died for our sins, that he was resurrected, and that he has sent the Spirit of the resurrected Son into our lives so that we might experience life with God. We are entering Holy Week, friends. We are going to take communion today. And I invite you to sit with the truth of the gospel, to look at Jesus again, to tell yourself the gospel and to experience grace and walk in the Spirit. Let me pray for you, and then Nathan's going to come. We're going to receive communion. I'll invite Michael back up to play for us, and we'll do that. Let me pray. Father, pray with me, will you? Father, it is so human, so normal, so natural to consider our goodness and our evilness based fully just on what we are able to do, on our morality, on our choices, on our history. And that's why you sent your son to die for us, because God literally, no one is righteous, not one. None of us are able to find the fit, to feel the freedom, to experience hope based on our own strength. And so you sent Jesus for us. Not only that, but he sent the spirit of your resurrected son to make his home in our hearts. And by that, we can cry, Abba, Father. We can move into spirit-led, spirit-walk, in-step with the spirit kind of living. God, will you give us a desire for righteousness, and will you give us the right way to walk in it? Will you empower us to see these invitations, to know how much you love us, to consider the cross, to consider what you have done, to root our faith in the core of what you did and what you have done and what you continue to do. God, I know when I stray from this, it's because I let the truth of the crucifixion and the resurrection slip away from my consciousness. Will you bake it into me, God? Will you make it new and visible in each of our lives? As we come to the table, yet again, we're given a chance to consider the cross, to consider how much you love us, and to consider the invitation of spirit living that you have invited us into. God, cast our history away from us. God, we know when you look at us, you don't see a record of wrongs. You see your son. And so, Jesus, may we come to the table, and will you fill us with that certainty of hope and with the faith-filled love to choose to walk in your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.